Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Let's take our seats. Among the gods, among the gods, this land, you are glorious in holiness, heaven and praises. Doing wonders, hallelujah. We give God all the thanks. You are welcome to church. Media, are you ready for me? We thank God. We just want to move straight into the Word of God. All right. As the custom is, we want to go into our anchor scriptures. We read our anchor scriptures for today. We want to read the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32, the New King James Version. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. Hallelujah. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known as known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thought, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Wow. Undescending, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. You see the generation we find ourselves? It's the picture that we are painting here. Who knowing the righteousness, of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. Hallelujah. Second reading, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16, a very popular scripture that we all know. If you are a Sunday school student, you should know this scripture, 1 John 2, verse 4, 15 to 16. Usually, we used to start from the verse 14, but we're going to take from the verse 15 to the 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Hallelujah. Is that verse 16? Is that verse 16? Add the verse 17 to it. Let's establish something. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. Our last reading that we are all going to read together, the book of James chapter 4 verse 7. The book of James chapter 4 verse 7. Church, we are reading together. Let's go. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. One more time. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. We bless God for this morning. Last week, we started a new series. A series that is very, very sensitive matter. And I've told all of us that we should be very sensitive to this new series that we've started. Today, we want to continue in the sub-series, Understanding the War. And the message we want to look at today is titled, A False Ally, A Slave Master, and the Adversary. Because of time factor, I'll only talk about the false ally. Then we will make time for the rest of the other aspect of today's message. So today's message will be the part one of what we'll be doing concerning this area. Now, let's do a little recap to help us follow up with what we are doing. Last week, we began with this series by establishing what was the origin of the war in Revelation chapter 12. It was revealed that the war began in heaven, and in Isaiah chapter 14 verse 13 to 14, the cause of the war was determined. And we knew that the cause of the war was born out of a creature's desire to become the Most High. This desire sowed a seed of rebellion, which is iniquity, in the heart of this very creature, according to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15 to 16. And out of the principle of choice, upon which God created most of his creation, the creature chose to pursue this rebellion, as Ezekiel captured it. And in the pursuant of this rebellion, the Bible said he went into what we called trading. We will come back to this concept of trading as we look at understanding the war. Hallelujah. Now, another thing we established last week as part of the origin of the war and the cause of the war was that the war transitioned into the earth realm from the heavens. So even though the war began in heaven, the war transitioned into the earth realm. When it came into the earth realm, what happened? The war transitioned to the earth realm because Lucifer, out of his rebellion, brought judgment to the realm God allocated for him as at that time. Now, if you read the account of Ezekiel, you find out that there was an establishment that he was the one who was in the Garden of Eden. And according to the writings of scriptures, we know that the Garden was located on earth. But Eve was created in the Garden of what? Eden. So as long as Adam and Eve were living on earth, and Lucifer, according to the teachings of Ezekiel 28, was also located in Garden of Eden, exact part the east of the garden where God also planted Adam and Eve, it is obvious that he was the one who was in charge of the earth. Now, another thing that established it was also that in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, he said that I will exalt my throne. Throne are meant for people who rule. And in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 6, you remember the Bible said, where there be thrones, dominions, everything, means that if he has a throne, means that he has the authority to rule, means that the earth was under his own jurisdiction. So the world transitioned to the jurisdiction because he was the ruler of then jurisdiction. Hallelujah. Are we there? His realm was judged because he deceived all the world at the time he was the world at that time, the world that he was ruling over, he deceived all of them. Let's read the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 9 to establish that. So the world at this time, before his rebellion, he judgment came upon them because he deemed to follow him in the pursuant of what? His agenda. But then I heard a loud voice. Are we there? Revelation chapter 12 verse 9. Are we there? So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and what? Satan, who deceives the world, the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out what? With him. So he deceived the world and then with him to join him in the rebellious act, including some of the angels. So what he did, the people on earth then, at that time, the creation that were under his jurisdiction, all has to suffer the consequences of the war he pursued. So the war transitioned towards the act. Hallelujah. And judgment came upon his head. Now, the impact of the judgment was captured in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible said the earth became formless and void. Last week, we saw that God, according to the principles of creation, whatever is created, the material used in creating it must reveal the nature of the earth, that material. And in the book of Colossians, we established that everything was created by Christ, through Christ, and with Christ. The nature of Christ is not void. The nature of Christ is not confusion. The nature of Christ is never darkness. So if the earth begins to reveal, or when the Bible said the earth was without form and void and darkness, it is completely opposite to the nature of the material used to create it. If that be the case, that means that something happened. And in tracing it according to patterns of scripture, it was the judgment that God judged what? Lucifer. And that judgment was established in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. The Bible said water was used to what? Judge the what? World of the old. Even though there are some kind of argument about this theological concept, patterns in scripture establish it. Number one pattern is that we saw that Revelation chapter 21 was revealing the original intent of God's creation. So if you read the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 talks about the original work God wanted to do. Now, if you come to Revelation chapter 20 and 21, you see the original work, or the restoration of the actual work. The Bible said that I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and there was no earth. See, another pattern of scriptures that established that the judgment of the old world is not about Noah's actually, but it's about the world then that Lucifer was ruling, was that before God, there are four kinds of creatures. We have man, the living creatures that stand before God. They represent the actual original creation of God. They appeared in Revelation 2. And you see them across all the patterns of things that come before God. Because everything that God created, the blueprint is before him. So they said there were creatures. There's four living creatures. Number one, we have man. That stands for the human creation. We have the ox. That stands for the ox. Other creations, or let me say animals that live among us in the house, domestic. Then we have what? The eagle, that stands for the bird family. And then we have the lion, that talk about the wild animals. You don't see anything about creeping animals such as scorpion, snake. They are not part of it. It means that they were not part of the original earth creation. You get the whole thing. They are a manifestation of a deviant earth creature. That is why Lucifer could not use any of the creatures that stand before God, except the ones that could not stand before God. The serpent has no representation. Another thing that had no representation before God was the fishes. So it established clearly that sea, whatever lives in the sea, were things that happen as a result of the judgment. Are we on the same page? So you see the scripture pattern over there, that the world then was judged according to the act of what? Lucifer. And that's how the war transitioned onto the earth realm. Amen. Amen. Now, the second thing that made the world transition to the earth realm was because the seed of rebellion conceived in Lucifer has to be allowed to manifest and mature according to the principle of growth in creation. Now, this principle is established in the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 28 and 29. The principle of creation according to God, that anything that comes in the form of a seed must be given a place for growth. So in Matthew chapter 13, he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? Verse 20, he said, no. Least while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Then he said, let them grow out together. So the principle of creation allows that anything that is sown as a seed must be allowed to grow. And when it is of maturity, now judgment can be ministered to it. Now, according to all the things that God created, it's only earth that is having the material content to give life to anything. So anything that you expect growth from must be on earth. As long as you want to see growth, that very thing must find expression on earth. That is why earth is the number one center of attraction for all living beings or all creatures. Because this is where life has expression, earth. Any form of expression of life and growth is on earth. So the world transition, the rebellion transition into the earth so that it can find place of what? Growth and expression. Are you with me? That when it matures, God will prove to all creations that no creation can rebel against me and succeed. Are you on the same path? Good. So that's why the world transitioned to what? The earth. So the world could have finished everything. Heaven, in fact, the world didn't even see a light of day in heaven. But because of these two things, the world transitioned into what? The earth, which we are also now dealing with it. Amen. So finally, we saw that man became part of this war by obeying Lucifer to also become the Most High. The deception of becoming Most High. He said, "You shall be like God, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So last week, this was where we established the order. Hallelujah. So last week, this is where we established the originality of the war and the cause of what? The war. Now, let's move into today's message. Very important. The second thing we have to understand about the war is the nature of the war we are dealing with. And today's message we are looking at is to expose to us the true nature of what really we are dealing with. The war we are involved and we are fighting, if we don't understand the nature of it, we will just be throwing our arms against things, thinking that we are out. But we have to do a thorough examination on the war. So in Revelation chapter 12, as it was established that the war, which is the rebellion of Lucifer, didn't see the light of the day in heaven, but transitioned into the earth realm. It came into the earth realm. God completely shut his authority to advance his rebellion. When the world transitioned into the earth realm, what God did was, number one, he completely shut the authority. You know, there's a difference between power and authority. Authority is when you have the legal right to do. Okay? But power is ability to what? To express it. So even though God allowed the rebellion, what he did to Lucifer was that he shut out his authority to express the rebellion. How did God do that? Watch something over here. God completely shut his authority to advance his rebellion by bringing in man who is given one of the kind of authority that creation has never witnessed. Now follow me. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, let's read something. You will find out that in God's order of creation, dominion is allocated not only to man, but to other creatures. Colossians said, "For by him all things were created by that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and what? Invisible, whether thrones or what? Dominion." So in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, it was not the first time God was allocating dominion. There are other creatures that God allocated dominion to them. And when you study scriptures, you will come across some of this. Okay? So there are creatures, the 24 elders and some creatures have dominion. They have thrones. They have dominion of expression. But the announcement that God made in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 was a very strong one. Why was it strong? Now, all the dominions God allocated before man, those dominions did not completely exclude God in direct access to those territory. That means, even though God has given them dominion, God does not need their permission to invade. God could invade at any time, anywhere. But in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, he made a statement. He didn't say, "Let us have dominion." He said, "Let them, man, alone, have dominion over this vision." What that statement meant, and what became a big statement in heaven, is that any creation, including him, God, the creator, any form of powers that can have expression, authorized expression on this earth, must be of the nature of this creature, else you cannot do anything. That was a loud statement. Are you following me? I want you to follow me very well. Good. This act of God completely shut out all spirit, including Lucifer, from any form of legal access to operate on earth, unless man give them access. This statement that God can do nothing unless man permits him is true. The only side to it, that not necessarily you. God will surely find somebody. Are you listening to me? But God can do nothing. When God said to Nebuchadnezzar that, "You know that God rule in the affairs of men." Yes, God rule in the affairs of men through men. And at the time when Nebuchadnezzar has been misbehaving, there was nobody there to help God to rule in that affairs. Then Daniel appeared. Then when Daniel appeared, God said, "Now I found a representation through whom I cannot rule. Then tell this man that now I'm going to show him that I can rule in the affairs of men." So that declaration God made in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 was one of the loudest statements. Every spirit then, that's why the Bible said, "Who are thou, man, that you are so mindful of?" Angels don't understand it. Because the kind of authority has allocated to this creature, according to the records of heaven, it was not there. So Lucifer, though, was permitted to move freely on earth on his act of rebellion, he was completely shut out of it.
He must have authorized what? Access to operate. And this authorized access is in this form. Watch.
Oh, Jesus.
This authorized access is that for anybody to operate on earth, the person or that being must be a spiritual being. You know, there's a difference between spirit being and spiritual being. I hope you know that. Now, a spiritual being in this essence means that a being that is spirit, that has a soul and lives in a body. That makes you a spiritual being. So any being that does not have a physical body legitimately cannot operate here. Do you know that just by having this flesh, it is an authority, it's a form of authority, your body. So any being that will want to operate on this earth must first of all have flesh and must come through the canal of a woman. That is why God himself has to be born, to make him legal on operating on this earth. Because let them have dominion was a serious statement. So Lucifer really suffered a huge blow. Because if that statement was not made, he could have had access legally to operate and build up on his own rebellion. But this statement shut him out. So this act of God completely shut him out and all spirits, including Lucifer, from all forms of legal access to operate on earth, unless man give access. This was a blow to Lucifer's rebellion. How? Because he needs a legitimate ground to operate on the only realm which his rebellion has been given place to operate. The Bible said, and God cast him onto the earth with his rebellious life. Now, it was only earth, that seed that he conceived. You remember the seed, right? Can have expression. Now, there's place that the seed can have expression for him to show something forth. He has also been denied authority to what? So this is you seeing your seed growing, manifesting, but you can do nothing. And God allowed that seed to grow in the garden, became the tree of knowledge of good and not and evil as a representation of it. And Lucifer saw this tree growing, becoming a whole mature tree as a representation of his rebellion. But he, as the person who has planted that seed, cannot see to the manifestation and not the spread of that seed. And what even made the issue more difficult for Lucifer was that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, his rebellion was time bound. You see, when God sent his rebellion on earth, one of the reasons God did so is to put a time bound on it. Because apart from the earth realm, time has no essence anywhere. There are two kinds of realms that we live in. We have what? The realm of what? Men, which is the earth realm. And the realm of God, the spiritual realm. In the spirit realm, time is of no essence. Everything is now. But in time realm, it's what? Time in a man's realm, time is of essence. That's why anything that God will do for you, it must go through process. There's no process in heaven. There are no procedures in heaven. Time realm brings about procedures. That is why seasons were born. That is why we have seasons. So God said, as long as there was winter and not summer, night and day. You see? So it is because that is so when God sent his rebellion to the time realm, it was to put what? A time factor on it, meaning that your rebellion has already an end. Read Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Let's read it. Therefore rejoice, O heavens. There was joy in heaven. Why? And you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because rebellion has been sent to you. And the seal, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath. Why? Because he knows that he has a short word for him. The wickedness of Lucifer, which I'll talk about the slave master, is because he's time bound. And the time bound is very short. You know, Lucifer tasted what eternity is, operating without time realm. It is like when you were in school those days that you have the passcode and you sit down to solve math question. You know that it was so easy to solve every question, right? How many of you have failed a question that you have solved as passcode before in an exam room? Lift up my hand, especially maths. Mathematics. There's a question you have seen. You solved it in the past question. Then you went to exam, you saw the same thing. There's no even trace, and you still had it wrong. How many of you have ever experienced that before? I'm here. I've experienced that before. Do you know why? When you were solving the passcode, there was no time allocated. So you had the opportunity to think, reason, and get your answers through. But here is the case where you are given 10 questions, 5 compulsory, 5 optional. and they gave you the first question, circuit theorem, to confuse you. By the time you are done with the circuit theorem, the 1 hour, 30 minutes given to you, or let me say 2 hours, you have already done 45 minutes on one question. Even the questions that you know, because of the time is short, you are bound to what? Get them wrong. So Lucifer, having tasted eternity without any restriction, now his rebellion is now put under a clock and a short time. And to make it worse, he has no authority to what? Exercise it. The guy was so pissed. But he was also happy. The joy he had is that this authorized system of operation in this realm, God is not the one who gives it. There's another person. So maybe let me try something that will help me out. So what happened? He set out in place his first and most important strategy to gain legitimacy to operate on earth, and which is called the false ally. And that is the first phase of what? The war. The first phase of the war we are fighting is because we are dealing with a false ally. And I'm going to explain to you. And that false ally, what it gave birth to is rebellion. Rebellion. So anytime the devil is in your life as an ally, it's a false ally helping you to rebel against God. And you must win that war against him. Else, he will make sure that all your life you rebel against God. You will never have control. So the first war he lands, which is his field of expert, deception, is to become a false what? Ally. Let's read. Now, who is an ally? Before we look at a false ally, let's look at who is an ally. An ally is someone with trusted and authorized access to your space because of shared loyalty and purpose. When we say someone is your ally, is someone you have given an authority, or you have authorized the person to have expression in your space. So if I am your ally, it means that I can enter your house and then make use of your resources to execute my purpose. Remember some time ago, either last week or last 2 weeks, when I was teaching here, I made mention to you that Iran and US became one very good friend in 2001 and 2002. Do you remember that story? I said, although they were allies in the 1970s, that relationship collapsed. But in 2001, 2002, they became one of the strongest allies. Do you know why? Afghanistan was fighting Iran those days, rebelling against them. Then the one who blew up the Twin Tower, Osama bin Laden, had his people in Afghanistan, to which he was able to orchestrate his attack on the US. Then US took interest in Afghanistan to make sure that they completely destroyed the Taliban. These are the same people who was also fighting Iran. You know what happened? Iran and US became friends. Iran gave their space to US. I mean, their airspace, their waters, they allowed US access. Fierce enemies. It was like the days of Jesus, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and for all the wars they fought, became friends that day. That happened to Afghanistan, the Taliban. And US became an ally, used the space and dealt with their enemies. So Iran and US, they have a very strong history. So when we talk of an ally, this is a person who you have authorized to use your space. However, a false ally is one who gains trusted access, but uses it against you. That's Lucifer's number one war strategy. He gains what? Trusted what? Access, but uses it what? Against you. Now let me explain. A false ally is someone who appears to support you, cooperate with you, or fight on your side, but secretly has divided loyalty, selfish motive, or hidden intentions that works against you. Matthew chapter 16 verse 23. Lucifer needed access, authorized access to earth, to which he can be able to see to the continuation of his rebellion against God. But he must do so by becoming an ally with the one with authority, but not as a true ally, a false one. Now, this is how Jesus painted how false ally Lucifer was. Listen to what he said. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me." What did he say? He said, Peter, what did he say? Satan. Jesus knew his way of training. So when he saw Peter was doing, he said, "Ah, he has come here again." What did the guard? He wants to repeat it here. "You are an offense to me." Why? For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of what? Men. Lucifer's false ally rise on when he comes to show you like he's interested in you. When we continue, you see how he does it. And at the end of the day, he will use it against you to rebel against God. And what a false ally achieves is to help you to do what we call self-destruction. Let's move on. Lucifer indeed needed an authorized access to this earth realm, which is completely at the disposal of man. The best way to get it is to make man feel he's an ally. But first of all, destroying his true ally, which is God. Painting God to him as a bad person. See, anytime I read Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, it's a serious statement. It's a very simple word over there, but serious statement. Genesis 3, verse 5. To be able to make an ally with man, he has to destroy the first ally, which is God. God was our ally. We were good in good terms. The Bible says, in the cool of the day, God will come into the space of man and communicate with him. Have you read that part of the scriptures? So we are in good terms with God. We are good. We had access to God. We could the ally was so strong that even the things that God created, he gave us space to name them. Man could ascend into the things of the spirit and come out. Man could buy into the mind of God. As at that time, the spirit of man was so actively in connection with God. Good allies. But Lucifer needed man on his side, so he has to destroy the relationship first. To make it, and look how he destroys it. He'll make you think that he's on your side. For God knows that in the day, not in the next month, instant, you eat of it, your eyes will be what? Opened. And you will be like what? God, the Most High. He knew the rules of choice that is entrenched in the desires of men. Now, you know that because God created man according to his image and likeness, one of the desires God planted in man, is that man will desire to be like him. So Paul said that I may know him. And but we all with an open face, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So there's a desire in man that is to be like what? Him, God. It was not after the fall of man. It was in the very essence of what? Creation. Because he created us to be like him in his image and what? And his likeness. And it was a process that man must go through. So although man was a perfect creation, he was not complete. The completeness of this is that he will eat of the tree of life, and that tree will be the Holy Ghost sealing that desire, and man will transform into that perfect image. Lucifer knew that desire. So when Lucifer came into the Garden of Eden, knowing the number one desire that is in man's heart, he decided to give him the better option. See, this thing is taking too long, bro. I want to show you the shortcut. The shortcut is that the day you eat of this food, it will not take. You have been in this garden for how many years? You be honest with your life. Adam, where's your husband? You see, I always say this guy is not serious. I was once here. And the reason why I left this place was because I wanted to be like him. But you know, you know how long it took me, and when I decided to find out, he didn't allow me. So let me show you the short way. You see this fruit that he said you shouldn't eat? That is the way to become like him. You will be like him. It was a desire in him. See, the woman ate the food not because the food was nice. So it was that desire pushing him that we may be like God. Every creation, even in their act of rebellion, is to be like God. All the rebellion, that's what we call it, Antichrist. Be like Christ. All the rebelling and the rebellious attitude in this whole world is just one thing. We want to be like God. Without God. that is the crazy aspect of the whole story. So he knew the desire of man. And when he saw that desire of man, he said, now. So the woman ate the food based on that desire. shortcut. And he ate it with a conviction that God was the one opposing them to be like him. But he didn't know that the moment they eat it, they will not be like God. They lost what to make them be like what? God. So the alliance was fostered. Man and Lucifer were united by a shared posture of what? Rebellion against God. Which is a shortcut for we to be like you. You refuse to tell us. In fact, you have told us that when we eat it, we will die. We will show you that we can be like you without you. We will eat it and we will show you. That was the posture man took. Disobedience. Then that's also the posture Lucifer also took. So now the alliance, they have common purpose. So they became what? Allies. Amen. The tree of knowledge of good and evil represents humanity's choice towards autonomy from God's instruction and independence. While the tree of life represents humanity's choice to be totally dependent on God. Man said, no, we can attain our God nature of being you without being depending on you. We want the way Lucifer used. So the adversary exploited towards deception. So it was not like there was nothing there for the devil to convince Eve about. There was something he knew was there. That is the desire to be like God. And it was something God himself placed in us, that we desire to be him. Hallelujah. Are you on the same page? Can we move on? You know, when you are trying to establish some scriptural, or let me say doctrine, expository like this, you must be very careful in establishing, because I'm preparing to take off with you into a very serious depth of warfare. Hallelujah. This complete alliance gave the devil authorized access to the earth. Matthew chapter 8 verse 29. But set man on the path of self-destruction, which is the goal of every false ally. See, anytime somebody comes into your life to act as if he's a friend of you, but he has a different intention, what the person wants to achieve is to make you destroy yourself. The fifth column is also called the first ally, a false ally. They come in, act as they are on your side. These days, I think we call them spy or what? Yeah, they come to spy on you. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before our time?" You see, when Jesus came on earth, demons challenged him on his authority to cast them out from this earth because their time was up. This was to defend the alliance that they built and what gave them the authorized access to what? Operate on it. Now, what happened? What this false ally, as I said, the first war phase of the war was false ally. So when he became our false ally, how did this advance this war? Let's look at it. The false alliance, the pretense of the devil to be on our side, gave Lucifer the access to build three strong systems, which the Bible puts together and called it the concept world, to advance his rebellion. With the support of man, who is his false ally, he built a system called Cosmos, which he became a god over it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. The Bible said he's the god of this world. The god of what? This world. So when man gave, how did he become a god of this world? When man gave him access and authorized him, he built three systems put together called world. And then he began to what? Govern it and became God. But the system he built, the first thing was to achieve what? Rebellion. And you find out that in the next thing we are going to look, in his government, you see wickedness, which is called evil. So if you want to see the governance of Lucifer or the devil in a place, trace evil. Evil is the revelation. We'll come there. Evil is the revelation of what? His governance. So the Bible said that when the righteous rule, there is what? The people what? Are at peace. But when the wicked, hallelujah. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, he said that he whose mind the God of this age has what? Blinded. He's a God. And he built systems to make him God. Now let's look at the three systems for rebellion. So the first war, phase of the war, is rebellious war. Lucifer is in pursuit of rebellious war, which he has dragged man into it. Man must rescue himself from that rebellious war. And it is a war to rescue yourself from that war. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? We thank God for Christ too. If not, we would have continued in this rebellious attitude. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said, the spirit of rebellion that worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. Hallelujah. These three systems of Lucifer I mentioned, now the end goal, as I said, the end goal of Lucifer is what? Use God's favorite creature to what? Rebel against him. That was the first phase of the war. So when the war extended to earth and he got access, what it is, okay, I'll use God's first favorite creature to advance the war against him. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the first system is called the Sodom Gomorrah system. I'll talk deeply about these ones. But today, I just want us to touch the surfaces of them. Okay. The three systems were perfectly captured by Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Now, Genesis was the foundation of all the things that advances the cause of the world, of Lucifer. And also the foundation for all the things that advances the cause of the kingdom of God. So in Genesis, what you read over there is not a historic account. Spiritually, they stand for principles and systems that advances the cause of both kingdoms. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, one of the systems you find over there, which is part of the world system, was represented by a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if you read Revelation, you'll find out that this city had also found itself in what? In the book of Revelation. What is the nature or the design of this system? This system is designed to rebel against God's order of governance in his kingdom called righteousness. So, Sodom and Gomorrah is a system built, part of the world system, called the lust of what? The flesh. That is built to rebel against God's order of what? Ruling. God's order of governance. God's constitutional law called what? Righteousness. In the book of Psalms chapter 89 verse 14, let's read. You'll find out that the throne of God, which also means that what governs God's jurisdiction. The throne of God, God's jurisdiction is established on two things. Righteousness and mercy. Let's read. Psalms chapter 89 verse 14. Should I read myself? Hallelujah. Psalms 89, not 29. Psalms, the chapter 89. I found it, verse 14. Good. Righteousness and what? And justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before what? Your face. So in God's kingdom, in the kingdom of God, the throne where God's authority is established on, which is, for example, the seat of governance for the president Mahama is established on the constitution. In other words, he is constitutionally elected, and his authority of oppression is on that constitution. Now, when you come to God's kingdom, what establishes God's throne and gives him the order of oppression is what? Righteousness and justice. That is how his kingdom is ruled. Don't forget that the earth is an extension of God's kingdom given to man. That's what the Bible said, the earth is of the Lord and the fullness thereof. So, as an extension of God's kingdom, what has to be done is that the will of God must be patterned to what? In heaven, must be patterned to what? The earth. But the system of rebellion or rebellious system that Lucifer was building through the false ally was that man would what? Rebel against God and using the Gomorrah system, rebel against what? Or establish his own sort righteousness. Hallelujah. The same scripture is established in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. You can read it yourself. Now let's look at how this system works. I said I'll talk much about it, but I'm learning how this rebellious system is used to advance the world till date on the earth, how it works. And I'll show you how you participate in it. You don't know the war we are fighting. You think you are just doing, you don't understand what is going on. You have a false ally who is using deception to advance a cause. And one of the cause is what? Sodom and Gomorrah, the last of the flesh. It's a war. What is it to achieve? To rebel against God's very foundations of his throne, righteousness. The system works through loose living, which is characterized by uncontrolled addiction, wild parties. That is how the Passion Translation calls it, Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. Which tends to advance immoral living, such as sexual immorality, deviances, and every kind. Any place you see loose living, what it means is that at that place, righteousness is not established there. And loose living is established on what we call uncontrolled addiction. The Passion Translation says it in Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. Now, what is the message that speaks in this very system of operation? The message is clear. This side of your kingdom, oh God, this side of your kingdom will not align to your will in righteousness, because we do not recognize you as an authority over us. So anytime somebody is acting in immorality, what the person is saying, that Lord, even though you created me, I choose not to follow the things that governs the throne you sit upon. So if the president of Ghana instructs us that by the constitutional right we should do A, B, and C, and somebody said that even though I live in Ghana, I take not pleasure to do so because I don't recognize your authority, so I'll do vice versa. That is what Sodom and Gomorrah stands for. And Lucifer built this system to teach God that we can rebel against your very foundations of your throne. And I'll use your favorite creature to prove it to you. Hallelujah. How do you participate in this rebellion? We are at war. Hallelujah. When man is born into this world, the devil, through false alliance, begins his deception on that person, on why God hates him so much. For the devil to get you to participate in this rebellion, the message is clear. God hates you. I'm going to show how God hates you, how he works that message to you. You know, when everybody is born, even though the nature, that alliance that we have built, the nature over there, the corrupt nature is there, it takes some level of exposure and deception from the Lucifer. The Bible said the one who deceives the whole world, that is his weapon. So he has to come first. You see, the devil, the first thing you come with you, and you see that when you started growing up, there are a lot of things that were trying to deceive you. Thank God though. Those days, you were locked in a room and you were soaking yourself 24 hours on porn. You don't know that it was a deception. The devil was deceiving you. God doesn't like you. He hates you. He doesn't want you to enjoy this. So come and soak yourself. The first one is, God hates you so much by putting you in a wrong place, a woeful environment, and if possible, a wrong body. How the devil gets man to participate in this rebellion of the Gomorrah Sodom principle against the righteousness of God, the throne of God, is that he tells you that God hates you by putting you in the wrong environment. You know why God, see, God hates you. That's why we were born in Ghana. He hates you. That's why when you go to US, God does not exist. Put Ghana and the empire. You're not serious with your life. What is God? Somebody just went to the moon as an astronaut and came there and said, acknowledge God. You that just finished with biology 101, you are telling us that there is no God. God is but it's the deception. He comes and tells God hates you. That's why you are born into this. So you begin to hate God naturally. He begin to give you evidences. He begin to prove you. You see, this environment, it is God. He didn't want the best for you. Why didn't God made you to be born in the kingdom of this and that? Why are you not the prince of Charles? Oh, soft life, my Lord, my God. God hates you. Now he has advanced it so far to the point where now it's not about God hating you. So God has made you to, he's trying to make people believe that God hates you, that he gave you a wrong body. So some of you, he's telling that you have to add something to it. Some people don't like their body to the extent that they have to go and do what we call BBL, self-destruction. Now when they are done, the kind of medical engagement they have to go through for the rest of their life. Some die in the essence of pursuing this. It is Sodom and Gomorrah rebellious system that you are lying to, and you use it. I said the false ally, the main goal is to what? Cost. So you let you be part of it. Some of them are believing so well that they believe that, oh, what God gave them is not enough. Let's add some drugs to it so that it can grow bigger. And then they die. Now, a lot of people have been admitted in the hospitals on kidney issues and many funny things because they want to advance their body. Now, which God gave them. You think you're wiser than God when he said it should be short? They are teaching these things that God hates you. That's why you were, although he created you as a man, he put you in a woman body. Madness. What was in Sodom and Gomorrah? The Bible said they were using the unnatural cause, the natural cause, what? Advanced unnatural cause, that men were after men and women were after women. I pray for you. You see, we are at war. This is the reality of the war we are fighting. Number two, God hates you by giving you too much rules to live by, thereby denying you the pleasures that comes with life. Guess one God, we shouldn't drink. We shouldn't smoke. We shouldn't womanize. We shouldn't do this. Why? What have we, have we offended you? Have you seen that kind of message being preached, deception going on? That there's too much rules and regulation. That's why he has made it like rules and regulation are your number one enemy. When you went to school, what was the thing you hate most? Rules and regulation. You hate those who are enforcing the rules, but you didn't know they're protecting you. You want to jump wall. You know that if I catch you, Scoopy is here. If he catches you, let me tell a story that happened in Apam. Martin, I'll say it. So, a Form 1 boy went to jump wall and he was caught. But before he was caught, an incident happened that everybody heard of it. There was one very tough guy in their time, very stubborn guy. Nobody can advise him. Martin, the guy you slapped him that he was reset. Who challenged Simon? I always forget his name. Malik. Now, that boy, nobody, in fact, he's one of the deviant guys on campus. One day, we were having Sunday service. They were asked all to wear cloth or something. He wear a khaki tight trouser and shirt. When the chapel prefect asked him to change, he just told him his peace of mind. Unfortunately for him, the head boy was in his cubicle and he saw him misbehaving. Then they sent for him to be called. Myself and the dining hall prefect called Evans, we accompanied him there because we are the second most wicked people in the school after the head boy. That day, me myself, I said I'm wicked, but I repented. I saw grace of higher wickedness. I never knew my brother could do that. He just told him to kneel down in front of his cubicle. I don't know what he went to do inside. He came back. The first thing I heard was loud slap. Whoa! And you see a man of that started crying. The one who was offended started begging for him. And he did it in public that other students saw what he did. Prophet, I said, I didn't know he could. Me myself said, hey, I was shocked. I thought it was enough. Second one followed. Belt was taken. You really don't know who he is. Christ has touched him. He has been touched by Christ. So what happened was that some of the students witnessed this incident, and then one guy of his class jumped wall and was caught. He begged the person who caught him that, you send me to Senior Bless. As for Senior Martin, I beg you, don't send me to him. He chose to go to me rather than Martin. When I understand, I couldn't tell. I'm like, it's serious. I said, me. Why? Because he knows that when you get into the hands of Martin, there are two things involved. You are going home. Or you are going on suspension. He doesn't joke. And the thing is that he was one of the prefects that even the headmaster will not argue with him when he wants to place punishment on you. So if the head boy says so, finish. Martin was one of the very respected head boys in Apam Senior High School. If you have an issue with the headmaster, call Scoopy. The case will be settled. Our colleagues were using him to settle their matters like that. Because if they want to sack you and the Scoopy, they say, oh, head, please, I'll talk to him. You leave it. It's okay. Go and handle it. That's the kind of authority he had. So the guy chose me over him. Yeah, he's like God. He hates them. He's enforcing the laws too much. Are you with me? That is how the devil tells us. Like, God hates us so much. But I don't know if it's for your own good. It's for your own good. So people begin to hate God by being deviant, to break laws. So people will, he said, Jolo, you only live once. They want school life, you call it school life. So people begin to do things all to respond to their what, Sodom, Gomorrah, out rebellious system. That because God hates us so much, he has put so much rules on us, so we break the rules. The third one, allowing others to enjoy but without consequences. The deception that they'll give you is that, oh, have you seen so so and so? He's enjoying. Have you seen anything happening to him? No. But you see, God doesn't want you to enjoy. Say, ah, this God is wicked. That is how an innocent sister went to try for the first time, she got pregnant. All the sisters were doing, no consequence. So Lucifer spoke to her. Can't you see they are enjoying without you? Oh, let me give it a try. And that's how you got pregnant. Are you with me? So these are some of the deception. This is how you participate in a rebellion. So you begin to push hatred in your heart. The last one, telling you what to do without your own body, which is exclusive to you. Another hate message that Lucifer will preach to you to help you to align to his rebellious heart is that the body belongs to you and you alone. I have something to do with the body. Do not judge. Have you hearing that message? This is where it comes from. Do not what? Now we call it, we listen, we don't. You don't judge. God should listen, but he has no right to judge you. Are we on the same page? Okay. So these deceptions are carried through songs, movies, advice, observations, etc. Very soon the individual will begin to believe these lies and take up the path of rebellion against God's righteousness. God's righteousness is buried in purity, in holiness, in sanctification. That is what the righteous is buried. So the person begin to live opposite to that, because the devil has used deception to speak to him that God hates you, just as he told Eve that God does not like the two of you. He doesn't want your eyes to be opened. God hates you. God hates you. So you see, many things that people are doing is to join Lucifer to tell God that you are wicked, you hate us, we don't like us, and we want to prove to you that you, the foundations of your throne, we can come against it. So immorality is on the rise because the rebellious system of Lucifer is coming to an end. Anytime you are participating in any of these things, you are also part of the people who are telling God that you are a wicked ruler. We don't like you. We want to rebel against you. And this is the kind of war we are exposed to, that we have to believe God to help us what? Be rescued from it. That's why I said we should thank Christ for what? When we move on, so I hope you're understanding the war. So many people have signed for a war they don't even have knowledge about. You think you're enjoying life, you don't know you're rebelling against a kingdom. You think you're enjoying life, it's your own body. You want to do what? Who told you it's your own body? Did you know what it caused God to create you to even? Do you know what it caused him? You are own. There's nothing that has no owner. Everything has owner. You see the madman walking on the street, you knock him by car, you find out he has a family. That's a father and a mother. Everybody has an owner. But you think that nobody owns you. So you're lying. It's your own body. Do what you want. Do what you like. Oh, it's school life. YOLO. You only live once. Continue. You rebel. Continue. Hallelujah. Okay. The Egyptian system. So the first system is rebellion against God's righteousness. Is rule of law. So You see that holiness is never promoted. Sanctification, consecration, those things are no. Why should I live holy? So hear the songs that are, you see the profane songs, profanity. When you go to the university, the university halls, male halls, that is where you see this kind of thing. There's nothing like school life. Oh. Be careful. It's the devil through deception teaching you to hate God and join him to rebel against him so that he can rule in that rebellious system called world. Hallelujah. Now, the second system, if in case he's not able to get you to join him to rebel in this way, he has another way to get you to rebel against God. So that I said the first ally is our rebellion, the war of rebellion. The second one is the war of wickedness and evil. And the third one is the war of adversary, resistance. That's the three topics I talk. That is the nature of the war we are dealing with. So the first war is the war of rebellion. We are into a war of rebellion, rebelling against the kingdom of God, rebelling against the ruler of the kingdom. And you are participating if you through a false ally. See, so you see these people, the devil makes them feel like, oh, he's on their side though. Until they get to the point where when they reach there, you see that you are on your own. You see, those friends who encourage you to go and do those stupid things, where are they now? Those who went to do the BBL because of social media pressure. See, some of you, these ladies, you are beginning to look at your body and be like, me, this is my body, because of somebody on social media. You don't know that they are part of the things that, you see, they are the agent that the devil has recruited, using them to speak to you, deceiving you that this is how life is supposed to be. I like one honesty about Nanaba Anamoah. She said, never ever think that the things I get, she said, don't compare us. I don't buy them. He said, don't follow me. Oh, I've worked for it. Don't try to be like me. But the rest will tell you, work hard whilst they are selling drugs. Work hard, but they are working with people into all kinds of life. And then you are there, and God hates me. God hates you. Continue, go for the BBL. Everybody is being sponsored by a sugar daddy. Me alone, God, I shouldn't do some. Do you know how I'm suffering? I'm eating Gary. I'm sleeping here. I am at here. I am doing this. I'm working under the sun. And the sugar daddy said, you buy a phone 70 plus for me. You get me a car. I'm going to Maldives. Blah, blah, blah. You are going fast. You see, I'm rapping. And you, God, you are giving me rules that my body is yours. Since when? It's my own body. Oh, yeah, sugar daddy. The temple is yours. As long as you are willing to sponsor. Hallelujah. That is a rebel. The Egyptian system is the last of the eyes. It's a system that has no recognition for God in human life. Now, you see, the Egyptian system is to make sure that you don't recognize God in your life. It is designed to make sure that man rebel against God by not acknowledging him that he deserves to be sick and to be served. When Moses went to the king of Egypt and told him that the God of the people of Israel has spoken to me, that let my people go, that they may go and worship me and serve me. He said, who is that king? Then he told their tax master that because they have enough time, they think they have God to serve. Increase the demand of their work. And let's see if it will ever thought. So the Egyptian system is an effort to make sure that even God will not come. You not even think that there is something called God, the system. Let's move on. How it works? It works by making sure man has no time to even think about the existence of God, not to talk of making time to serve him and seek him. It is called the curse of the world. Mark chapter 4 verse 19. The Egyptian system, that system is a rebellious system. It's made sure that God will never cross your mind. But one reason why God created us is to fellowship with us. The essence of, he wants to fellowship with us. That is why we are his sons, we are his bride, we are his temple. That is the essence why he created us. But the rebellious system that Lucifer has built, that you are participating in that war, will teach you that God, there is no space for God. No. Don't make space for God. Let's read. And the curse of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, isn't it? And the desires for what? Other things entering in choke the world wet, and it became us unfruitful. Paul, one upon a time in the book of 2 Timothy 14, said, Demas forsook me because of what? The pleasures That's how the system works. You don't have time. You see how you are so busy. At first, you used to have quiet time. Spend some 40 minutes, 1 hour with God. Very soon, you see how that rebellious system is trying to choke you. See how it's choking you. Now, God, good morning. Amen. 1 second, you are done with him. You have gone for the whole 1 year without not eating one food day, 24 hours, to make time and say, Lord, let's fellowship. If God is your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your wife or husband, you treat him like this, do you think that marriage will continue? It's a system. It's not your fault. It's the war we are fighting. It's a war. It's a war. Rebellious system. It is built to make you so. It will force you. Let's see how it makes you participate in it. Number one. The scarcity created by hoarding begins to teach man that you must always work hard to survive because God will not come through for you. Psalm 127 verse 2. The world rebellious system will teach you that there is no space for a lazy man. They will even give you scriptures to confirm it. A hand that does not work must not eat. So you see that you wake up every day. The first thing is, if I don't do something, it is in vain. Listen, for you to rise up early. You know, when you rise up early, the first thing that has come is that you give that early time to God. Because Jesus, he rose up early to what? Give. To set up what? Late. To eat the bread of what? Sorrows. Now look how I said. For he gives his beloved what? Sleep. Lucifer will tell you that God never gives sleep. It is never in God's pattern to give you sleep. In fact, he will even misquote the scripture and say that the earth was cursed to punish you. So do you think God will ever give you sleep? So man begins to participate in this rebellion act by making sure that he works from morning to dusk. And you see, you are so exhausted that you don't even know God exists. There are people who are very spiritual in their hometown till they came to Accra. 2 years, they don't even know where a church building is. They don't know they are rebelling against God. The rebellion in this nature. Two, life is about focusing on the visible, immediate, and temporal things. So how you participate is that they'll begin to teach you that life is about focusing on what? Visible. That's how the world rebellious system, cosmos, teach you. The Egyptian system. It teaches you that life must be concentrated. There's nothing like eternity. Concentrate on the visible things you are seeing. Concentrate on the temporal things you are seeing. Immediate things. Matthew 6 verse 31 to 32. That's the war we are fighting. And in fact, the system is built to make you concentrate. You come to Accra and try not to concentrate. And you see what is in Accra for you. I spoke to somebody who was living in London, who has relocated from London. Yes. The precious over there, the curse of the world. Therefore, do not worry, saying, are you listening to me? What shall we what eat now? What shall we what drink now? Temporal. What shall we what wear? These are things you concentrate on. He said, don't worry. Continue. Verse 32. Listen to what he said. Listen to what? Verse 32. For after all these things, the Gentiles what? Seek. Look at the word there. Seek. Instead of seeking God, they seek these things. Because that is what the cosmos, the world system will teach you. Seek these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The earth and the Egyptian system will teach you that God never cares about the things you need. So you better think of what you eat. As you are sitting, when you close, what are you going to eat? You'll be there. This 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. If you are going for some shift, you have gone to do this. Do you know the amount of money you are missing? You are here tomorrow. But you remember your mom is calling you. We are here coming. You don't. Okay. Let me go in. Especially those who do boat drivers. They are the ones who really feel this scripture. When they look at the surge on Sunday, especially at this time, should I go and sit and pastor to be telling me his peace of mind? Oh, money. Now, they have made it so powerful that now, Sundays, some companies are paying double if you work on Sunday. Smart. Yeah, smart. We are at war. The third one. The pleasure you desire to sustain or have in Sodom and Gomorrah is only possible when you work. You see, you want the fine girls, you want the cars,
You want those things? You want to travel? You have to work. Hard work. Luke chapter 12, verse 19 to 20. Okay. Almost there. Luke chapter 12, verse 19 to 20. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be what? Merry. How could he take his ease to eat, drink, and be merry? He has many goods what? Store. So the Egyptian system will tell that you have to work and store. Make money, make money, make money, make money, oh! Make more money. So don't, this thing about going to church, you are, God, you are going to spend that 4 hours of your day, you want to pray, quiet time. Hey, are you serious? You have to make money. Because you need to buy a house. That landlord is almost on your neck every day. You see how the sound of Accra is scorching. You need to get your own car. A car is not a luxury in Accra. It is not a necessity. You have to work hard. My brother, my sister says, you do what? Work hard. So that one day, when you buy your car, like Prophet Jericho has bought now, he could say, oh, I can be merry. Because he has worked hard. See, if you have ever sat in Range Rover or Mercedes Benz, this message I'm preaching, you understand me. You work hard. You don't know what you call soft life. The first time I flew from Kumasi to Accra, came by flight, 2023. That was my first flight experience. That was the day I knew that, Charlie, money is good. In a space of 30 minutes, I'm in Accra. Oh, Lord. Here you come and land. The safest means of traveling is by air. Unless your family members have been sent to meet you at the top there. Hallelujah. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. So you see, the world system of Egyptian principle will make you think that before you can make merry, you must store goods. And in storing that goods, you have to seek them. So you see that people are chasing. See, people are really chasing it. So you see, I'm not saying you shouldn't work hard though. But the thing is, when the whole thing is that's all your life is about. Now let me show what I mean over here. Actually, what this system implies is that you go for another master to compete with God for your attention and your life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The Egyptian system will tell you that God alone is not enough to be your master. You need another master. It's called Mammon. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he would hate the other one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God. It's a deception, though. It's a deception to think that, oh, I can still serve God. Oh, and I'll be. The devil says, oh, you need one more master. You have to do this. Do this. Do this. The message is clear. You can't have me all for yourself because you do not own me. That is what this system says. So you can't tell me that, oh, God, all the time you want me to church. You want me to do this. Serve God. See God. Serve God that you don't own me. You can't have me all for yourself. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Said all souls are mine, but in this system we tell that God is not true. There is no soul that belongs to you. We own ourselves. We when we have the time, when we are being wasted and being used. So the devil will make you feel, I'll do this. One master cannot own you. You have to do this. You have to do that. Hallelujah. Final one. Then we'll close. The Babylonian system. So the first ally, he used it to build the world. The world operates on three systems. So this is the last of what? The eyes. The one we just spoke about, the Egyptian system. The riches of the world. When you see it, your eyes are all popped out. You want to have it. Now the last one is the pride of life, which is the Babylonian system. We will talk about them in details when we get, as we advance in the concept of the warfare. So we are just scratching the surface. This is a system that promotes the pride of life, as presented in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15-16. This rebellion system is to tell God that we can achieve your ends without your means. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. So let us come together and let us build a tower whose top reaches what? Heaven.
So they want to access heaven by their what? By their means.
August means.
So they went to access heaven, but they said no. But remember the Tower of Babel. That's what I'm talking about. The Tower of Babel is to say that, oh God, we can achieve your means, your ends, without your means. So we will build our own tower that will reach you. We will reach you there. We can reach you. God, don't worry. What you want to say, don't worry. We have a way to reach you. Yeah, we have a way to reach you. Rebellious people. When your dad said, do this, you don't know that. I have a better way to do it for you. You know better than God. That is the system. Now, how does it mean? God created man to be like him, God's. But through his means. So in Psalms chapter 82, it says, ye are God's. And the children of what? The Most High. That why is very key. He said, the children of any. That title, Most High, it's very important. Like, ye are God's and the children of the Most High. So God created us in his image and likeness. The expression is to be what? God's. And this God's means that God's rule and then they dominate. But they are able to do so the pattern of what? Heaven. So in Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, it said, as it is in heaven, so or not on earth. That's how God's rule. That's how he wanted us to rule. But the Babylonian system said no. We do not need to go by God to attain our God status. We can make name for ourselves without what? Him. So, this is how it trickles into how we participate. The first man to initiate this rebellion is called Cain. Jude chapter 1 verse 11. The Bible said the way of what? Cain. Cain is the first person to build, develop, and establish civilization outside God's presence. And he survived. Yeah. He dominated. Cain dominated a jurisdiction without God. Even though the Bible says you can do nothing without me, Cain said, you lie. Babylonian system that has been established by the covenant of my father and Lucifer, I'll prove it to you. We can do without you. Now look at this. You are in Babylon if you seek to dominate or rule over anything without the pattern of God. And I'm going to prove it to you. Anything you want to dominate, control, have access to, and rule over it without the patterns of God, you are in Babylon. You are a rebel. Because he created you to what? Operate as he ought, you see. It is as it is in heaven, so it was what? On earth. Your life is not exclusive to it. So everybody, if you want to know you're in Babylon, so let's go. Now, so what the world promotes now is I without God. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, what? Who strengthens me. Is that not so? What the world promotes is that I can do all things. The other side of the face is what? Is gone. So this is how it works. When your academic life, financial life, relationship life, all the lives you have, that you are building or you have built, is done without the principles of scriptures and runs without kingdom influence, you have joined the Babylonian rebellious gang. So you ask yourself, which part of your life that you are doing without God? You are a rebel. And the rebellious system you are operating with is what? Babylon. Then you sit and say that we did it by ourselves. So when Babylon was in its full picture in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible said that he stood on the top of the hill and said, look at the kind of empire I've built for myself. I built it. God, do you know how I suffered to be able to get this guy and married him? I did it. Do you know the number of years, the things I did to become doctor? That's why those people, if you don't address them by their title, I swear, you will pay for it. They'll let you know you're in Babylon. Are you there? Amen. So this is how we rebel. Let me close. The false ally war impacts on man and our way out. This false ally, the impact on man, is in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 18 to 32 that we read. Anytime man joins Lucifer in rebellion, God gives man to something that goes with self-destruction. Now take me to the verse 21. Romans chapter 1 verse 21. Let's look at how all God does. You see, this is a revelation of the three system, rebellious systems, okay, that attract the wrath of God. Anytime we do that, it's self-destruction. The devil, the first ally's operation is to make sure that you self-destroy yourself. We have to find a way to rescue ourselves. And it's Jesus who has rescued us. Because though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thought, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22. Let's go on. Next. Professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. Rebellious. Every rebel is a fool. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into what? An image made like what? Corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping. So this one is talking about the Babylonian system. One of the reasons religions are born out of the Babylonian system. We want to use our own means to what? Attain God's what? Ends. So people say, oh, we can use this way of worship to meet God. All religions falls under this rebellious system. All religion. Therefore, God has also given them up to what? In their lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now, if you read this very scripture, that you see that God has given them to many things, including sicknesses that cannot be cured. Sicknesses that cannot be cured. Many of the distresses that are coming on man because we decided to join Lucifer in rebellion. When you become born again, you have what it takes to come out of this rebellious system. And how do we win the war? James chapter 4 verse 7. Submit. Submit to God. Then you cannot resist. For anybody to resist the temptations of Sodom and Gomorrah, that person must be submitted to God. You see, that is how we win the war. That's how we come back to this. So the first phase of the war, the nature of the war, is that it's a rebellious war we are part of. our grandfather signed all of us up to it. So we are actively joining the devil towards rebel against God. When you become born again, you have a way out. You have to choose it. What is the way out? Therefore, do what? Submit to God. The moment you submit to God, what it means, I have what it takes to what? Resist. To be able to defeat the world is resistance. You have to resist it. He will what? Flee from you. So when Lucifer came, after Jesus submitted to God, the Father, Lucifer came and said, you get thee behind me. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, said he resisted him. 3 times he tried, he lost. Because he had all it takes to what? To resist. So this is the nature of the war. This is the first phase of the war. And in this first phase of rebellious war, the only way we can fight this war and not be part of this rebellious war is that what? We ought to submit to God. Can you submit to God this morning? Don't think you can do without him. Don't let it just be songs. Don't just say, I give myself away. Don't let it only be songs. Let it be a true confession. We are at war. We are fighting a rebellious war. And nature of the one phase of the nature of the war is that it's a rebellious war. It is being done through a false ally. A false ally has come into our life, building a territory for himself, using us as a medium to rebel against God. He is the rebel of all, he is the chief of all rebels. The only way, Jesus came to die so that we will no more participate in this rebellious act. So Paul said in the book of Ephesians that we were once among them, the children of what? Disobedience. This rebellious spirit was in them, but we are no more. And why are we no more? Because we have submitted to God. If you don't submit, you can be born again and still be participating in this rebellious act. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lord, which part of my life haven't I submitted? Is it my finances? Is it my finances? Oh, Shabranda Makasaya. Help me, Lord. Today we just come to the Lord, look into us, help us. Lord, we come to submit fully to you. Our life is fully in your hands. If we don't submit, we will lose this war. We will continue to be losing this war. We will continue to be falling for this war. The first ally will continue to have his way. Deception. See, that deception you will not stop. That is his tool of trade. So the Bible said, the enemy cometh my daughter to steal. He will come and steal you through deception. Oh, lift up your voice and pray. Oh, celebra na mabaha. Alabraso ne mi antaka yabaha. Lobro no mosa yabaha. Say, God, touch me. Help me. Take that stony heart from my heart and give me a new heart. Create in me a clean spirit. God is working. See, some of us, we have been thinking that, oh, this thing we are doing, we don't have time for God. It's a normal thing. You don't know you're a rebel. You have gotten another master. And you think that you can serve two masters. You are lying. Now, some of you, your job, your business is your master. It controls your entire life. You can't have time for God. It's time to come and say, Lord, we submit. See, you make it in life by not compromising. Shabra namako sila vahasaya. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.